I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories. On today's episode, we talk to Jason. We talk about grooming as well as families and co-parenting. You don't want to miss this first episode of Season 3 of The Dad Experience. Welcome to another great episode of The Dad Experience, Season 3. We're in Season 3, Mike. Can you believe it?
Season 3?
Season 3.
Does that mean, is that 3 years, though? Because I thought,
it isn't.
I assume that a season is like over the time span of a year.
No,
is that incorrect?
Well, here's the deal. You kind of jumped on board and I had to start a season 2, and then I decided, well, we're just going to do season 3 at the turn of the year, and that's when I'm going to keep changing seasons. So that's what I've decided.
Oh. Yes. Yeah.
I like that. You take you take the helm on that.
Making big choices for the new year.
So anyways, on today's show, we have Jason. Jason's a Michigan native. He spent 8 years in the Navy before returning back to Michigan. He was also stationed in Norfolk, Pensacola, and Chicago, amongst other places. Jason has a wife, Rebecca, and a teenage son, Cole. He is a lover of art as well as a techie. He was a techie before the term was even coined. He is an amateur photographer, web developer. He was also won Walls Man of the Year in 2018, and he's still Walls Man of Detroit, with the best facial hair in America. He was chosen by the governor in Michigan to be one of 26 people to be the best representation of Michigan. So, Jason, we always like to start off our show with who lives with you at home. I know we talked a little bit about it in the bio, but we don't want to leave the pets out either. So what's the makeup of your household?
Okay, so the makeup of my household would be my wife, and we have two dogs. And actually, my dog is kind of more famous than me.
Really?
Why is your dog more famous than you?
Because he was Channel 4's All for Pets first spokes pet.
Whoa, that's super cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
So he's got his own Instagram. And for a while, he had more followers than I did. And then I kind of like passed him up a little bit.
But what does our world come to when our pets get more followers and people interested in them than we do? I guess that might be a good thing sometimes, right? But I don't know. That's weird.
First of all, it's all one fake internet points. It's all fake internet points. And honestly, for the people that have it, it's, I don't know if it's like a niche or a hobby, like being involved in this social media thing.
Well,
it's
some people,
oh yeah.
It's definitely, I mean, yeah. Some people just obsess over it way too much.
Way too much.
Oh, get off of Facebook, people. It's all right.
Yep. So we've got the two dogs, and my son lives with his mother, and I see him during the week and also on weekends.
Nice.
Awesome.
Nice.
Does that is that like every weekend?
Yes.
Awesome. That's pretty. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yes.
That's great.
I think it's way better than like the every other weekend kind of a thing, you know, and then it just goes too far apart, you know, and I've always lived like pretty close to him. And like for the past 2 years, I lived about 40 minutes away. Ooh. So, yeah, that was kind of tough, but now I live like 10 minutes from him. And it's not such a big deal because now he is driving and has his own car.
Nice, nice. I have a friend at work that he is also separated from his children's mother, and they do the weekly thing, like the week on with him, and then a week off, a week on, then a week off, and it works for him. And I mean, whatever works, whatever is going to get you through, right?
Yes.
You know? Yep.
And also, you know, what's best for the child.
100%. 100%.
You know, and 100%. The main thing is like stability, you know, like keeping that schedule. Obviously, like for little kids, that's a big deal.
Right, right. And school. Same school. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes.
School and, yeah. In conformity there.
So, You know, you made me think of something right off the bat, kind of going a little bit out of step here. But so your son's, he's driving, and Mike and I both have younger kids, and we haven't had a ton of parents on that have had older kids. So what is the biggest thing that Mike and I need to be afraid of when our kids get that teenage years?
I don't know. Just knowing that, I don't know, from the get-go, I've always told my son that if your friends pressure you to do anything, they're not your friends.
No. Yep. Absolutely. They're not. They're not your friends.
And I mean, that can be anything, you know. Hey, you know, shoot this spitball at the teacher, or, you know, here, try this drug. You know, it could be something very small, or it could be something, you know, like super major. And your real friends aren't going to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And what was your favorite age? Was it like, or, you know, some people think that there's an aspect in all the ages, which I'm pretty sure is true, but which age did you enjoy more, when they were a little itty bitty toddler stage, or now that they're, you know, a teenager becoming a young man, all those things?
Well, it's like, I really enjoyed like the activity of, like the younger years, because, you know, like going out and doing different things and, you know, showing him new experiences and, you know, that kind of stuff. So now it's, our experiences are more cerebral, and I'm more into making like good memories with him, you know, like by traveling. I've been to 26 countries. And I know I can't, you know, take him to 26 countries, but I can take him to different places to experience different things. So I'm glad that I have raised him to where, you know, if he asked me about, you know, a topic, and it could be a political topic, and he, you know, says, you know, I really think, you know, this, and then I can tell him, well, I really think this. And we can agree to disagree, or we're both like, oh yeah, you know, we're both, you know, on the same level.
Your favorite time, and I called this before you answered, is right now. Your favorite time is right now.
They're both like, they're different times.
The current favorite.
Right. Yes.
I knew it.
Yes. Like every day is like my favorite day. You know,
that's awesome. I knew you were going to say, I'm favorite. Glad you went that way, man. I'm so happy.
Yep. I wouldn't, you know, when he was growing up, he was very well behaved, and I could take him anywhere, because there was like no temper tantrums. There were, you know, like, you know, fits of rage, or right, yelling and screaming, or anything like that. And I totally let him know, hey, you know what? Because, you know, you are so well behaved, we can go anywhere and we can do anything.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And it's I never thought of that aspect and flipping it, you know, as they grow older. Obviously, as each day that comes, it's even more exciting than the one before. But to think about that down the road, you know, it's always scary to see, oh, they're going to grow up and you're going to be out of this stage and they're not going to do this anymore. But there's always that new aspect that is engaging and exciting to and just to get excited about. So, you know, I think this is a good transition for us. Tell us a little bit about your background of you, the way you grew up, and then kind of how it kind of led you into just all the traveling and all that great stuff, and then maybe, you know, tie that in and how that maybe molded your parenting style.
So it's kind of weird. It's like, you know, when you have like a really good boss and you're like, oh, I like that about him, you know, or, you know, her, or, you know, I like that. And then when you have like really crappy boss, you're like, oh yeah, I'm not going to do that when I'm a boss. Like that's how I like gathered the way that I wanted to be a parent, like good examples and from bad examples. You really don't learn from always being right. You know, you have to make mistakes to learn. Mm-hmm. And so my mom was a little more strict, and I'm not saying that that's like the bad, you know, like some of my friends had like horrible parents. And so I get like, I like the structure of that. And then my dad was a little more freeform and where like nothing was a big deal. You know, not once there was like the don't put your hand in the cookie jar. And that just means that it's not a big deal if you put your hand in the cookie jar. It takes the temptation, you know, the defiance part out of the equation.
Positive or negative reinforcement.
It's getting a reaction too. You know, sometimes when they make the bad choice, it's just trying to get a reaction, whether it's a happy or a sad reaction, just trying to get a reaction.
Yes. So like I've never had to punish my son. I mean, he's done stuff where he did need to be punished with his mother, and that stuff carries on with me because that's the way it should be. You know, it's not like, you know, if you're grounded from the TV that you get to come over to dad's and you get to watch TV. Nope. Guess what? You screwed up and you're still grounded. You know, so no TV. So but I have never had to do, like, be the one that did the grounding when he would be close to doing something that would warrant that. I would let him know that, hey, you're getting close to the edge and you get to make the choice if you want to cross that threshold. Because yes, I like being able to say I've never had to punish my son. You know, or award my son some negative consequences that he has earned. So, and not once has he really ever gotten close to where I have had to say, this is one of those times where you need to make a choice. And it's never come to that.
Well, it sounds like, you know, that is awesome. It sounds like that, you know, it's a good philosophy to live by, you know, being an educator. And I know Mike is in education too, that it's always important to kind of balance that positive reinforcement, negative reinforcement. Is really that negative reinforcement fixing the behavior or just making the behavior worse? And it seems like a lot of that, I mean, just taking a credit out, you know, a page out of your book, it's just trying to find that great balance. And it's awesome that you found that with the way that you know, kind of learn from the folks that were around you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's not like I read like a whole bunch of books on like how to be a good dad or, you know, anything like that. I've just done what has like, I guess, come naturally to me. And I mm-hmm. I really think if for you to be like a horrible parent, you really have to try.
Yeah, you got to be really just.
Yeah,
I want the half button it. Yeah. You know,
right?
Just,
yeah,
just not, and you're not trying, and you and through you're not trying, yes. You're doing yes. a really awful job.
Yeah,
and in your case, you had two. From what I am thinking, from what you have said, is that they were strong people. You know, if it was a strict or a laid back,
yep.
They were one or the other. They were on those teams. And when you grew up and decided to be a parent, you decided this is how I'm going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to be.
Yeah, you know, some things. Right in the middle. You know, obviously you need to be strict about, you know, not running out into the street. But you could be a little more laid back with,
yeah.
I don't know, climbing trees or, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Bedtimes.
Yeah, climbing trees, bedtime. Right, exactly, exactly. No, that's awesome. So you traveled a lot. You said in the beginning, and also, you were an exchange student. We talked about this, I believe off the air, but you were an exchange student in Denmark. And when you were there, I don't know, did being in a different culture help you at all, to, you know, in your parenting, or did you have host parents when you were there? I don't know how old you were when you were overseas as an exchange student, but did you have host parents, and, you know, did that kind of influence you at all, or did you observe anything different from other cultures?
Well, I was an exchange student in high school, so I did have host parents, and my host mother knew how to say my good little boy in English, and she knew what it meant. And my host father knew how to say King of the Road, and but he had no idea what it meant.
That's and awesome.
Yeah. That's really cool.
And so
when he's angry, King of the Road.
Right. And what's weird is that, you know, in Denmark, that's where like the Vikings came from, and the Vikings like went to Ireland, and they teach that the Vikings vacationed in Ireland. Now it just so happens that vacation, you know, consisted of raping and pillaging. Whatever. But when he would say King of the Road, it was like King of the Road, and he totally sounded Irish.
That's awesome.
But their like their lifestyle is, I would have to say, like very, very laid back. And
so
if you're going to drink, you do not drive. And I mean, that is like the biggest thing. Like nobody over there drinks and drives. Nobody. Because if you get pulled over or whatever, you lose your license for life.
Not screwing around, man.
Yeah, like you're done. Yeah, you're done. You're completely done.
I agree.
But and like drinking wasn't a big deal. If I could, like, I could go to the market or a five-year-old could go to the market, and as long as they could say what they wanted and had the money to buy it, they could do it. Because there's the trust there that the parents know better than to let their kids do that. And if the kid is going to go get that, they're getting it for their parents, and it's not a big deal.
That's interesting. So yeah, but it's a hard line that they follow, but they trust in everybody. So it's kind of the weird balance. Which is an interesting aspect. So,
I think that's the culture. That's the way everybody's been raised in subsequent generations. So I think if that happened over here, like if we started saying, okay, like to your daughters and my sons, hey, listen, if you drink and drive, boom, you lose your license. And, you know, two generations, you know, when they have kids, boom.
Yeah.
They're already used to it. Oh, well, if I drink and drive. But yeah, no, that would never happen here. Not in this country.
No. And, you know, I get it that like some towns don't have like a good infrastructure, you know, like a bus system or a taxi system, you know, so it's where over there, like every city has all of that already integrated.
Right. Right. No, it makes a difference too, but it's just interesting. So, you know, and as you've gotten older, you said you like to travel a lot, and you said you've taken trips and gone to 26 different countries. Did you find any other aspects in any other countries that were like, wow, I wish that was more prevalent in the United States or from my culture, and it's something that you kind of made an impression on you?
One of the places that I volunteered when our ship pulled into Varna, I want to say it's Romania. I went to an orphanage, and it was an orphanage for kids that were HIV positive. Because kids or the kids that were born from mothers that had HIV, they were essentially like just discarded. Oh. And I most definitely knew that like that's not right. And there are a bunch of like homeless kids in Romania, and I want to say there was some in Odessa as well. And it's just sad to see, you know, these kids that are homeless, and they could be parentless. You know, it's they're, you know, borderline feral kids, you know, running around, and they're trying to steal or beg for your money.
Right. That's very sad.
Right. Well, that is, it's really sad. And it's important that we take care of all of our kids. Well, kudos to you for volunteering though, and helping out those people and those folks. Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's one thing that like I grew up with. My parents were big on, on giving back, whether it's doing like Focus Hope Walk or, you know, raising money for this or for that. And so I've taught my son that that is very, very important. You can easily throw money at stuff, but you're always going to make more money. And it means more if you donate your time, because you don't get more time.
That's true.
Right. Right. That's true. So you and I was going to ask that question, you and your son, do you do any sort of work together now? Now that he's a little bit, even when he was younger, I guess too, do you do things together to kind of get back to the communities you're in or just around the world?
Yes. Yes. We've volunteered and served breakfast for, it was Thanksgiving breakfast, downtown for Motown Meals. And, we did sorting of gloves and mittens. That was like last year for Mittens for Detroit, and that's a really nice charity. I mean, if you stick your hands in ice water for not even a whole minute, you know, just 40 seconds, and pull them out, and your hands are like super stiff, then you'll now know what parents and kids feel like at school.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the middle of the winter, because they don't have gloves, and this charity provides That's gloves awesome. To kids in Detroit and Hamtramck.
Wow. That's great. That's great. Well, I would definitely want to get some of those places you've been volunteering at too. If you've got a few favorites, we'll plug them in the show notes too, and make sure that our listeners know about those things. But this is a good chance for us to take a short break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. If you like the Dad Experience, stick around to the end of the show. You can hear about another great podcast that you can get on the Parents On Demand Network app that you can download at the iTunes or Google Play Store. So stick around after the break. We'll talk more with Jason. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We're here with Jason. Mike's joining us. We're talking about being a parent, different cultures, being all over, having co-parenting. It's been an exciting episode and a lot of information shared, a lot of great information out there, things that you know, I'd never knew about before. So really excited to have Jason. We're going to keep the conversation going. Jason, tell us a little bit about your favorite thing. So far, or your favorite thing just in general about being a parent?
I would have to see, I would have to say that my favorite thing about being a parent is like when, like, you've been teaching your child, you know, X, and they finally like get it, and they are like telling their friends
the aha moment
about it,
where they figure it out. Yes.
So like my biggest example for that would be, ever since he was little, I started him on Looney Tunes, like cartoons, because they really are the best cartoons.
They're pretty funny.
Yes. So, there's the Roadrunner and the Coyote. And the Coyote's always getting Acme stuff, and he never gets the Roadrunner. And so I can't remember how old he was, but I asked him, I said, do you know why the Coyote never gets the Roadrunner? And he was like, no, why? And I said, because the Coyote doesn't want to do the hard work to get the Roadrunner, and he's always looking for a shortcut.
Yep.
And then, you know, like when he was little, it was just like, oh, okay, you know, and then, you know, as he gets older, he's like, no, I can't take a shortcut. You know, that's what it's a shortcut, you know, in order for me to get the reward, I need to do the hard work.
No cutting corners.
Yeah. Yeah. And
right.
You know, it puts it in perspective, and it's something that you can attach to young. And it's kind of like what Mike, you were talking about earlier. If you instill something in a community or a culture, and then two generations later, you learn about it, it's that same thing. You instill that memory and that thought about this is how it's done. Later in life, they make that connection or like, no, I can't do it. And it's just second nature, right? Like you were talking about earlier, it's totally makes sense. So What do you think, or what is the best advice, if you could give one piece of advice to our listeners out there, what can we do to create better father children relationships? You know, it seems like there's a bigger push now as we push and become more progressive as a society and a culture, but what is, you know, breaking down those barriers, what do you think the best thing, or the thing we should think about the most to build a better relationship with our children?
Most definitely making memories. And I've always talked to my son like he's a normal human, you know, not like, you know, like baby talk. You know, when he was younger, I would boil it down like a little bit more, you know, so it was like more understood or easily digestible. But now that he's older, I just speak to him, you know, frankly about things. And but yeah, most definitely I would say creating, you know, positive memories where, you know, he was kind of afraid of heights. So one summer I took him on a zipline tour in Ohio, and that completely built his confidence.
That's a good idea.
Nice. And it seems like just sometimes just taking that leap too. That's not thinking outside the box. That's what I like about what you've had to say a lot today. It just seems like it's not something that's a step by step piece, and it's just thinking about outside things that may or may not go together, but we find that they do. So it's really, really cool to see.
Yeah, and then, you know, like I'm sure your kids might be in the phase of only eating like French fries, chicken strips.
Yeah, we're getting closer to that phase.
Okay. So in order to like get out of that phase, I started using like tortillas and it's basically it's the same thing, but it's just like presented different.
Right.
You know, and so I was like, okay, so we're gonna make a chicken quesadilla, but I'm gonna use this tool, and this tool is a pizza cutter. Now we're making Mexican food and I'm using an Italian tool.
Right.
And he's, whoa, you know, so it's like he's getting like a little lesson, and he found it enjoying.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's neat to have those hands-on things, and it's exciting to hear that. You know, there's a lot of other folks out there that are trying to be more hands-on with their kids and dads, I mean, that is, and breaking down those barriers. So on our show, we have a reoccurring segment that we like to do. At the end of each show, we ask all of our guests things you can't wait to see through your children's eyes, or you have seen that you got really excited about seeing through your children's eyes. It can be anything from going to a movie to traveling somewhere, but just something you can't wait to and experience again and kind of see through their eyes.
Well, this past week, he drove me in his car for the first time.
That would have been crazy. That's a crazy thing for me to think about right now. That's nuts. I can't
think that far yet. Yep. So, you know, I gave him some constructive criticism, but what I can't wait to see in his eyes was like the same reaction, like when like you're completely surprised, like when you're opening up that present, you know, that you have no idea what it is at Christmas. You know, like life doesn't have very many like true surprises.
True joy surprises, yep. For sure.
So so that, and then the thing that I can't wait to see him, I can't wait to see him be an awesome dad.
That's awesome.
You know, or, you know, or get the job that he wants. You know, I've told him from the get-go that like when I was little, I wanted to be a garbage man, because they got to like ride on the back of that big truck.
It's also cool. An important job.
That's super cool.
What would happen if we didn't have a garbage man? Oh my god, it would be terrible.
Right. And so I was like, you know, I don't care what it is that you want to be. I just want you to be the best at whatever it is that you choose that you want to be.
It's something good. I mean, it's an awesome, It's an awesome thing to imbue onto somebody.
Yeah. Well, and it's, well, hopefully we'll be able to check back in with you and kind of continue to see your son grow and hear more about those exciting experiences. So you have a lot of great things going on that we talked about at the top of the show. You know, you do a lot with different graphic and web design.
Photography.
And you were the wall and photographer, and you were the wall man of Detroit with the best facial hair in America. So tell us a little bit about where they can find you, or, you know, I don't know if you do any sort of appearances or what you do in that nature, but anything you want to plug here about your experiences there and your job or whatever you have going on. Here.
Okay. Let's see. I'm on Instagram. My Instagram handle is MindChip. Like, I have a computer chip in my head. Let's see. I just started a company called the Mustache Perfector, and I was tired of like mustache waxes that would cake in the winter and melt in the summer. So I came up with this product, and in fact, today somebody tested it with their mustache up against a leaf blower and then recorded the video.
So is this a product that like people can buy like right now, or is it just in product? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. Let us know.
It is. And I've been using it for, I'd say, about 2 years. And then I realized that there was nothing on the market like it. And I was like, oh, well,
there you go. That's awesome.
On the market. So to stay in tune with the whole giving back theme, I for every bottle that is purchased, $1 of that purchase price ends up going to the same men's charity that Wall donated to when you entered in contest. And that charity is called Zero Prostate Cancer. So it makes sense. It's a men's product, and it should go towards a men's health charity.
That's awesome. I agree. That's awesome.
Cool. And where do they find it to purchase then, our listeners, if they wanted to do that?
They can go to the-perfect-stash.com.
All right.
And
that's awesome. Our listeners have to go check it out. You have one of the greatest beer. It is true. You do have the best.
Yeah, beer. Check out the Instagram. It's awesome. It's braggable. I'm super jelly.
I'm jealous. I can't figure it out.
I'm all splashed.
This is just my first beard.
Is it really?
It is my first beard.
You've never cut it back. How long have you had it?
Let's see. I want to say like 2 years. My wife and I 1 year went to a Halloween party, and I was Neptune and she was a siren, and I bought like a theatrical beard and glued it on and styled it, and I was like, oh, I'm growing a beard.
That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah, I am super jealous of that, because I feel like I have to go to the barber like every other day to make.
Because you're a bear rug, dude. So. You're hairy.
Well, it does. It helps when you use quality products. And
it does.
So I'm actually an influencer for Detroit Grooming. And okay.
All right.
So I would most definitely plug Detroit Grooming here.
Hey man, yeah. we have no complaints of that.
Those guys are awesome.
The world to shave us.
Sean Mike are crazy.
Sean and Mike are great guys. They've been on the podcast a few times. We should do another one now. We've got a round table.
They are bigger.
So our next round, Detroit Grooming guys, we'll have you on. So that'll be a lot of fun.
For sure.
But yeah, their products are great, and we can't get enough of their stuff. And you can tell when you go into their place or talk to those guys, they're genuinely. They care about every person that comes in and how to make it better and better on them healthier for them. So, they're great guys. So that's awesome. So yeah, Detroit Grooming's got some great stuff, and we will put their link back in our page too, just so folks can get their stuff there. What's your favorite Detroit Grooming product? Oh, that's my question.
Well,
for you.
Without being completely biased about the Mustache Perfector, which is my product, I would have to say I really like, Detroit Grooming's peppermint body wash.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Nice.
Because it's, yeah, because it's basically, I thought about it this morning and I was like, it's mouthwash for your body.
Jesus.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
Yep. Feel the tingle.
it does. From head to toe. That's from head to nice. Toe, right? So, but I think my favorite, if I was had to pick, I love, I always go back to the.
Oh, the Corktown smells really good.
Corktown yep. stuff. I love yep. That's my favorite. And I know that's one of their number one sellers, but I try and go through it all. You know, I cycle through it so my wife doesn't get sick of the scent. So, but they've always got new stuff coming out too now. It seems
more
recently. So it's good stuff. So check their stuff out for sure. But so is there anything else that you wanted to share with our audience or let them know? So that, and let us know again one more time where they can find you on Instagram.
On Instagram, you can find me at mindchip. At mindchip. And it's the same handle on Twitter. You can easily find that on Facebook. The other thing I would like to quickly talk about is the Murder City Facial Hair Crew, and they are a nonprofit organization. They're like a group of beardos that raise money for charity, and every year they hold a event in November called the Circus of Whiskers.
Oh wow!
And it's a beard and mustache competition for charity.
Nice.
Where's it at?
I have to check that out.
It's at the Tangent Gallery.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll And they have a website too, I'm sure, right?
Yes, absolutely.
We'll make sure all this stuff. If you can, we'll make sure we have all this stuff on our show notes so folks can find it. But yeah.
Yep. And then the other one, real quick, was the Upper Lip Hair Affair, and that's later on in November, and that's usually at the Belle Isle Casino, and it is a just mustache competition. And if you are able to grow a mustache, even though you buy tickets, and you're able to grow a mustache, and you don't have a mustache. At the door, you have to pay a $10 no stash tax. And that's all for charity.
Wow.
That's cool.
That's cool. That's cool. That's cool. Well, awesome. Well, we were so glad that you were able to join us on the show. You had so much to share and so much insight for our listeners. I know they're going to really enjoy this episode. So thanks so much, Jason, for joining
us. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Super fun, man.
We'll have you back again. Mike, as always, thank you so much for being my co-host here and taking the reins on and helping us out.
No problem, brother.
Don't forget, the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can catch us on their app. Stick around at the end of the show. You'll hear about another great podcast from that network. And go ahead and follow us on Instagram. If it's your first time listening, follow us on Instagram. We are the Dad Experience. Or if you have a show idea, want to be on the show, experienceanddad@gmail.com. Thanks so much. It's great. We're excited about season 3. There's going to be some great things coming down the pikes. We have a lot of great guests that have already set up with us, and we're trucking on forward, and we know that our audience is going to love it. So thank you so much for being a part of the ride, and thanks for listening to The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.